Welcome to Anzac Letters Home, a project developed by Wendy Riley for O'Kane's Bay Museum. This podcast series features personal letters drawn from museum collections and letters printed in the Akoroa Mail from New Zealand Expeditionary Force soldiers, New Zealand nurses and their families, as read by members of the Christchurch Performing Arts community. Written to family and friends, the letters tell of their experiences during World War I. They write of everyday things like food, sightseeing and the doings of their friends, through to life under constant shellfire, attacks on the enemy and the deaths of their mates and fellow soldiers. For this reason, we need to add a warning. Some of the content can be harrowing to listen to.
Among the Serbian Wounded. Peninsula Nurses' Interesting Experiences. The following is a copy of the letter received from Nurse Atkinson, who was well known on the peninsula and especially at Little River, where she was resident for some years prior to going to England to join the nursing staff. As read by Naomi Ferguson. Walton Hotel, Victoria, SW. April 8, 1916. To the Chairman, Little River Patriotic Fund. Dear Sir, will you please convey to your committee my gratitude and many thanks for the parcel of good things which I have just received on my return from Serbia. They told me at the New Zealand office that the parcel had been waiting some time, but I expect you will all understand why I have never acknowledged the receipt of it. I have not had any letters or papers of any description since the 14th of October until my return to England on the 3rd, so you will understand how pleased I was to get 54 letters and your parcel. Many of the letters were from Little River, and I hope to be able to answer them all in a few days. You will be interested, no doubt, to hear a little bit about my doings in Serbia. Up to October 22nd, we nursed principally fever cases of all descriptions. On that date, scorpia was lost by the Serbians, and from then on until we left, we had as much work as we could get through. There were 740 beds in our hospital. I was in charge of one operating theatre when the Bulgarians came, and for a month after. And during that time, we seldom left the theatre before 12 p.m, and it was generally much later, once as late as 4 p.m, and then operating again at 9 a.m. the next day. After the theatre, I took charge of two wards of 57 beds altogether. Those were busy days, but we were quite happy. After the worst rush of wounded was over, came the rush of frostbitten Serbians, many quite lads. The cases are awful. Two men lost both hands and both feet. And after the frostbitten ones came the cases of starvation. One or two died in the bathroom before they could be undressed. And all this time, day after day, past the hospital was marching an army of Germans, Austrians and then Bulgarians, regiment after regiment. For 8 days we had a dense fog and it was ghostly and depressing to see them go by. Not silently by any means, for in Serbia we have mud such as you will find in no other country, quite as deep as in some parts of the North Island that I could mention. But not only deep, so sticky that you can hardly lift your feet if you are unlucky enough to have to go through it. There was always a tremendous amount of shouting going on and occasionally a band to cheer them. On February 17th, the hospital unit left Skopje for Sofia, where we were interned for a month. And afterwards, we passed through Bucharest, where the English people gave us a great welcome, and on to Moscow and Petrograd in Russia, then through Sweden and Norway. We had a smooth crossing of the North Sea and England once again. With kind remembrance to all my old friends in Little River and many thanks for the parcel full of useful things. The following is an extract of a letter giving the account of a trip to the Sahara, as read by Naomi Ferguson. 27th General Hospital, Abbasia, Cairo. You people are longing for wet weather. I would enjoy a real steady downpour for 21 hours. I hope by this time the poor animals are having a better time. This is a wonderful country from an agricultural point of view. The irrigation is grand. You go through miles of green country, and yet the natives are really no better off than they were before, they say. The city is very dirty but very interesting. We have to ride through a part of the native quarters on our way to Cairo from here, and they are very dirty, but the people look very happy, except some of the women who do all the work and carry all the weights. We have been on the Sahara trip, started from Cairo at 9:30 a.m. by train, hired the donkeys and rode through the desert to the city of Memphis, where there is a much nicer looking Sphinx than the one in the photo, and two colossal figures of Ramses II. These are most beautiful works, particularly the one with the key of life in his hand. We had an 18-mile ride over the desert on donkeys. They are so easy to ride and so strong. The ones in the photo are the ones we rode, and the camels were just mounted for the occasion. Halfway through the day, we halted at a queer place for lunch, which our guide, the gentleman on my right hand, prepared, who rejoices in the name of Abdul. We then went underground, not far from the rest house, to see the tombs of the sacred bulls, huge, massive granite tombs. The canal engagement. Nurse A.M. Jacobson, who was stationed at the 27th General Hospital, Cairo, gives the following particulars about the engagement at Katia. 27th General Hospital, Abbasia, Cairo, 16th of the 8th, 1916. We have been very rushed and very busy here lately, as there has been fighting on the canal, and most of the wounded brought here are our own boys. Several of the poor fellows have died. It made us realise more than ever the horrors of modern warfare. I have been very busy just lately, as they are drafting as many men as possible into the tents to make room in the main building for the worst cases. I have a dressing room attached to my establishment, and the other morning I was dressing one of the Parkinson's wounds, Leonard Parkinson, and we were talking Little River, and a voice from the corner asked me if I knew Akaroa. It turned out to be a boy named Young, who had been with L.J. Smith on the peninsula, so of course he was very pleased to hear about him. There are several amongst the men who know the peninsula, and they all talk at once to me when I go into the tent. Our poor boys have been most horribly cut up, I believe. Such a lot of Canterbury's boys suffered in an engagement at Cartier on the canal. We had numbers brought in here for several days, lots of the wounds quite slight, some of the escapes so wonderful. Heaps of wounds just grazed the chest, back of the neck, or even top of the head. The New Zealand boys are great favourites. They are so bright and ready to be off again to fight. One boy came into the tent the other day, and as he stood in the doorway of the tent, he said to the orderly, "I don't know what my poor mother will think. Here I am wounded and my brother was killed yesterday." And as he looked round, he found that his brother was not dead, but in the tent. The hard part of it is, I think he will not recover, as the bullet went right through the shoulders and severed an artery. They were going to try tying it today. I have not heard how the operation went on, as he was taken into the ward. The last boy that came in has never left his brother's bedside. Even in the night, they found him sitting holding his arm up to give him ease, because of course he has such a lot of pain. I do hope he gets better, but anyhow, it will be some consolation to the mother to know they were together for a while. Cholera is raging up the line, so we are all to be inoculated. I was done today, and my arm feels very sore. If I go to Bombay, I will have to be done for plague too, so we will have plenty of microbes wandering around our bodies by the time we have finished with the East.
The Anzac Letters Home podcast series was created with help from the Christchurch Performing Arts Community, the Akaroa Mail, Akaroa Museum and O'Kane's Bay Museum. The letters which feature in this episode were written by Nurse Alice Jacobson and Nurse Maud Atkinson and were read by Naomi Ferguson. This project is dedicated to the memory of the Banks Peninsula men and women who served in World War I and in some cases made the ultimate sacrifice. To tell their stories of war and learn from these first-hand experiences so we may never forget.